Up to page Resh Samach. We are in the middle of Halacha Chaf. We're in the middle of Halacha Chaf. Simen Kuf. Birchos Kehanim, Simen Kuf, Halacha Chaf, on page Resh Samach. On page Resh Samach, we are in the middle of the Shi'orim and Mitzvah Halacha. Different types of Kohanim that are not allowed to Duchen. We learned in the Halacha that if a Kohen has a discoloration, he has his hands are white, or they're colored, they're red, or they have dots. Me'ikar hadin, the kohen should not duchen, because people are going to stare at his hands, and it's going to be a distraction. And then we learned in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the custom is with the kohanim, they drape their fingers, their hands with the talis, and the people in the tzibur are draping their heads with the talis. Anyway, they're not going to see them, therefore there is no problem. However, here in Ois Zayin, on the bottom of the page, Reish Samach, he mentions, what about if a kohen is a suma? Kosa ayim shachanach, the suma gam yachas meinov lo yisur kapov. A suma may not duchen. The ayim bibish nebuah bibir halacha shom shakosa the daf im sim yusoy nikor. It's noticeable. Everyone can see. Aval im sim yusoy ein a nikor. Kogoyin shemotsu minei sumim sheineim keinei shabnei adam. Rak shenit yinotel meor einov. If it's not noticeable that he's blind in one eye, or and he has different types of he has a glass eye, things like this, then in nikra kemoshe motzis mini simum shenem keinei shabni adam rakshilu mi'or enov motor lis of kapov, because he's not going, no one's going to pay attention, no one's going to stare at him. Yayim shut machshavas Yaakov dim suma beiz enov lo yisa kapov b'shamayif, and he paskins that a suma beiz enov should not bless. Why? I don't know why. What's the reason? Suma kashav kemes? Is that the reason?
It's a mum.
It's a mum. It's a baal mum. So one eye is not a baal mum. It's not a real avoida. It's not a real avoida. But let's say it's not noticeable. Maybe because it's impossible. A person is blind in two eyes, and maybe automatically there's no. What?
His eyes are, he has cataracts, he can't see.
But that's called steam. We're talking about who is completely blind. We're not talking about that. A person can see as
one eye you can see.
Yeah, one eye you can see, but it's but
you don't have the
Okay, I don't know, but it says over here that beis einov lo yisur kapov b'shum oifin. The ayin b'sefer pesach adir the chereish hamedaber be'in shmei mutar lisur kapov, a deaf mute, not a deaf mute. Chereish hamedaber, not a mute, someone that's deaf but can speak. In other words, he became deaf later in life, so he grew up with the
koyach.
So, but it means here that's a whole. Okay,
deaf children were born deaf.
Oh, so that's a question that he's talking over here. That in the time of the Gemara, right? Time of the Gemara, even a person that's born deaf has the koyach to learn how to communicate.
Nowadays,
today, years ago, not like that. Years ago, a person that was not able to hear from the child, so they didn't even bother. They didn't even bother teaching. They didn't have the technique to teach. Today, Baruch Hashem, it's very different. But anyway, here he's talking about a person that's not, doesn't have that problem. A person that can definitely speak. It's just that he does not have koyach of shmia. So it's. How does he know where they're up to? Good question. The teller. Close caption. Close caption.
The vibration is.
On the Aron HaKodesh. I don't know.
Can a blind person get away?
Can a blind person? No, I don't think so. A blind person, I don't think, can get an aliyah.
There's no problem.
He has to be able to see the Sefer Torah.
There's no problem.
I'm not so simple. Even if a person, let's say a person's on a wheelchair, they can't get up to the bima. Someone's on a wheelchair, and the bima is elevated, and they can't. This is not so uncommon. And he comes to shul and he wants to get an aliyah. But the bima is such where they can't.
So few people go to the side.
So if they pick him up, fine. But let's say they bring him up to the bima, but he can't see the Sefer Torah because he's sitting. So what do you do? So I don't know. It's there are different opinions on this matter. Let's go further.
With deaf people, everybody has. I work with deaf kids for 30 years.
Yeah.
Everybody has some residual hearing. They do have powerful hearing aids and cochlear implants nowadays. So they can follow.
Oh, so everyone, it's different. Okay, okay. In
most. Yeah.
Okay, let's go further. Let's go further here. We learn over here that if a kohen cannot enunciate the words clearly, lachtoich ha'oisiyos heitev, ayin le'el sheherachti bein shinu ha'avoras v'ha miv to'im, how do I say that word? Miftei Ashkenazi umiftei Sephardi imutar l'shanos mimifta l'mifta. Are you allowed to switch from one pronunciation to another pronunciation? The yoytzin Ashkenazim b'mitzvah shu b'shmiya me'asfardim k'sheyesh lochem mifta acheres ve'lhebuch. So this is machlekes apoyskim. Harav Avadi Yosef is mekel. Everyone quotes Rav Avadi Yosef that an Ashkenazi can be yoytzi the havod of Sephardit and the Sephardit Ashkenazi. Other poyskim are not so mekel. Many other poyskim very machmir that if you go to a Beis HaKnesses where they're laning in a Sfardit, you lo yotza. Go to a real Sfardish shul and you hear Kriyas HaTorah, lo yotza. You can't get an aliyah. That's a sheet of many G'dolei Yisrael. Rav Avadi Yosef is Cholik, and many people are, especially today in Eretz Yisrael, where there's such a big mishmash. One thing in America, it's very easy to navigate yourself, not to go to the wrong shul. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's much harder because everyone there's so much more of a mix. That's what. We're not talking about modern Hebrew. We're not talking about modern Hebrew. That's another shaila.
No.
I'm talking about what?
Basically the same.
Not everything. They're different. Let's not. Okay, I don't know the details. Not every.
They're all speaking Sephardic.
They're all speaking it as a language. But when they dive in the Ashken, the Haredim, they all speak Evrit, fluent, rapid fire, like on the radio. They can mow you down. In modern Hebrew, you don't hear understand what a guy like me will go listen to an Israeli talk in Hebrew. He can talk rapid fire Hebrew. I don't know what in the world he says. It's like you listen to the radio. An American like
Ben-Gurion spoke very slow when you
were. Ben-Gurion, yeah. Because it wasn't his natural level.
Biblically, yeah.
Biblical Hebrew. Oh, like Yeshiva Bacha. But it's like you listen to the radio. You go there, you turn on the radio, and they're talking, a guy like me, they're talking rapid fire. Mayor, you don't have this problem, right? It took rapid fire.
He would have the Chassidish guys, the Belzer guys, the Gera guys speak Hebrew fluently.
They
go in it suddenly changes to Vayayim Moshe.
When they dive in, they switch. When they dive and they switch from modern Hebrew to not only to with the Havar, the Hasidish Havar, which is something which I read this book. We're going to do one day a review on this book of Rabbi Klein. His name is Rabbi Klein. A book on Hebrew language of Aramis and Hebrew and modern Hebrew. And he writes something very interesting. He writes at the time of today that the Haredim speak Ivrit. Which is not nishtahi nishtaher. It's not biblical Hebrew. It's not Yiddish. It's not traditional. It's a new language that was invented by the Zionists, by the Tzionim, and all of the Haredim. They're speaking fluently Ivrit. Who to the large degree gets credit for this? So he says, shocking what he says is the Chazonish. The Chazonish. This was a battle.
They asked him if they should teach yeshivas.
And he said yes, no. He says Ivrit. And if the Chazonish had a lot of influence under them, this goes back 60, 70 years when the state was first disagreed.
Made a big mistake by making a whole fight over the Yiddish.
You know, you have
all these Hasidish little kids, they don't know a word of Yiddish.
There's nothing holy
There's
about
nothing,
Yiddish.
They don't know any Yiddish.
It's a made up.
But a lot of this, he credits a lot of this goes to the Chazonish, his influence. If the Chazonish would have made a fight, would have fought about this, today, Eretz will be very different. It would be very different Eretz Yisrael today. As much as the Haredim are in their own world, they're completely outside of the Israeli society, they would be even more outside.
So many because parents would not send their kids to school.
It would be a different Eretz Yisrael today. It would be much more complicated.
The old issue. Kids wouldn't
it would be a whole different world. A lot of the integration, this that there is some degree of integration between the Haredim and the secular Israeli society is very much due to the Chazonish, to his opinion, his influence, that they should be dafka teaching
in
Eretz.
What language do they speak in Lakewood?
English. What?
Very few.
The English. They don't speak English. They don't speak Yiddish. They don't speak any language. There is no language. No make-believe language. What?
So if you have a choice of English or Hebrew, so which is better?
Well, some will tell you, real kanoi. They'll tell you, oh, it's a Zionist. It's Zionim. Oh, stay away from anything the Zionist did. It's a corruption of the holy language. There are such people like that. They'll tell you better.
can write in.
They'll
Yiddish,
tell you better learn in English. Yiddish. Yiddish is really German or English than to take Lashon Kodesh and pervert it with new sets of rules and dilute it.
I had a geometry book. It was written in Hebrew.
In the biblical Hebrew.
Yeah.
Biblical Hebrew. So that's not a perversion of the language. Modern Hebrew is not true. This was a very big debate. That's another topic. So this is even a okay, let's go further. We'll try to spend some time with that at some point in time. Okay, let's go to the next halacha test in the bottom. Horgas and Nefesh B'mezid. We learned yesterday halacha test. We just spent 10 minutes on the different halachas. The person may not duchen, even if he did tshuva, he may not be duchen. I am b'shul based of it. Shehevi, because the hands, the yodayim that were instrumental in causing death to bring being shlichas, may not be the same hands that are going to bring bracha to Klal Yisrael. Ayin b'shul based of it. Shehevi mi Mordechai. The koyhanim holchu lemulchama. The koyhanim that went go to war. V'chein b'shas. Arminon sham. The koyin mai b'yifas toyar. Mashma the hoyu holchu lemulchama. The hachashmanoim. What about the chashman from the Chanukah? They certainly went to show you koyhanim holchu lemulchama. Uluma zehevi sham harbi rayas. The koyhanim lo hoyu holchu lemulchama shum tumas ames. So what's going on over? We have over here a contradiction that sometimes the koyhanim do good to go to war. Sometimes they did not go to war. Going to war means you're going to come in contact with the dead. We must stop. Does not come to a conclusion. If a kohen goes to war and is instrumental in kills people, is he allowed to be noisy kap of ayin sham? But ayin b'sham mitzibur the din zeh dafka im harag nefesh mi Yisrael. Only if you kill a fellow Jew, the ayin b'mishle uzil the mitzad loymar the gam b'nefesh akum hadin kein lav dafka. Even a Jew that kills a non-Jew, someone is instrumental in killing in a guy. It's not so simple. If he did a b'mezid, if he's allowed to be allowed to b'mezid, b'mezid.
So,
Bob's, that's indirectly. That's all part of the shalos. It's not clear.
There's a whole.
There are certainly kohanim.
Israeli, very interesting. They came out in the 50s.
All the shalos. So what are they paskins? There are certainly kohanim in the IDF, and they kill Arabs b'mezid. They know exactly what they're doing. Are they allowed to? Are they allowed to duchen? Pinchas was a kohen, and they all talk about that. That he was a kohen. He firstly became a kohen afterwards. He became first was holding was a rasha, and he became a kohen only afterwards. He named the sati lo yisbrisi shalom. That was later. Yeah, but how was he allowed? It was also harasha, obviously, also koch nefesh. The double pashed ain dava I made. It was a chil Hashem who was harasha, kamein peiginbo. That was all included. The oldest this question is discussed at great length. How was he allowed to go and kill Zimri, Kozbim Zimri? Let's go to halacha. Up to halacha chav beis. Halacha chav beis. Or the first halacha yud. I'm sorry. Halacha yud. You're laughing at beis in the bottom. Nasa gerusha a chalutza a koyin who is married to a gerusha chalutza. I'm b'shut mari asad. Bedin koyin shnasa. Muberes, a kohen who married a muberes. So is he allowed? What's the issue? What is the issue if he marries a muberes? The kid that's born. So what about the shiloh? The kid that's born. Why should the kid be called the kid who's a muberes? Let's say she's an almana. I don't know. What's the shiloh? A woman who's a muberes. She's
Let's
pregnant.
Say he marries a gerusha.
So yeah.
But he marries her, she's pregnant already.
Right. So the child's a cholo.
Even if it's his kid. It's...
Say it again?
He got a woman pregnant.
Yes. When? When was she pregnant?
A gusha.
The child's a cholo.
She's not a cholo because he didn't marry her.
No, she is. He's a cholo.
That
is a cholo. Even if he doesn't marry, it doesn't make a difference. If a woman is a gusha, if I'm not mistaken, the halach is does even though he did not yet get married, even though they're not married, if he lives with a woman, who is a gusha, the child is a cholo no matter what. Kedushin. Yes, even if he did not marry her. Yes, you don't have to be married to know the child is a cholo. It's a cholo. The fact that this is a woman is not allowed to marry would not make to a chol. Now he talked about the shah he mentioned over yesterday. Here we are over here. Now I don't know what's the issue of a muberis. I don't know. Bidin koyin shnasa muberis. Why? What? The lechatchila man is not supposed to marry a woman who's a muberis. But let's say he married. I don't know. So he did an avera. The kohen did an avera. Is he allowed to duchen? I don't know. I don't know what he means. I don't know. I don't know. Is a man, a regular man, allowed to marry a muberes?
After 3 months.
After she's already pregnant, she's clear. It's nikar. So what's the, why should there be a problem? What? It's not his kid, obviously, from a previous marriage. Previous marriage. A man is married to a woman, and the man and the woman has pregnant, and he either dies or divorces her. Is she allowed to marry someone else? Is she allowed to marry someone else? Normally there's hafchana. You have to wait 3 months. A man may not marry a woman after she gets divorced because let's say she gets pregnant. It's not clear, is she pregnant from the first husband or pregnant from the second husband? Even though b'zman hazeh you can do a DNA test, it doesn't make a difference. Loy plug, this is the minhag yisrael, you're not allowed to go and get married after 3 months. But let's say the woman is already, I don't know the halacha, let's say the woman is already pregnant. So there's no shaila. Everyone knows that the baby is from the previous husband. So why should there be a prohibition for the man to marry a woman who's pregnant? I don't know. I don't know what halach is. So here he's coming to make things more complicated when a man is marrying a woman who is pregnant. A kohen is marrying a woman who is pregnant. I don't know what the issue is. Okay, he doesn't that tell us. Now here he talks about something which is probably more common, bizman hazeh, where a kohen is living out of wedlock with a grusha or a chalutza. Okay? The kohen sheyichid loy bebeisai nochris. He's living with her together in the house and not married. V'hi yoshev v'simo ki ish v'ishtai. He doesn't tell us the halacha. He just says, ayin there, b'shub din sin. So you always can imagine, whenever you have an ayin, you don't have an answer, you always know that that's a machlekes. That's the red general rule of thumb. Before you even look it up, you should go look it up, of course. But generally speaking, when you have such an issue, it's not machwiya, to two different stadim, if he you're allowed to give such a person an aliyah. Yud alef, oy shnit malumes. So you have a person that works in the chapel, is a kohen, and what's his parnasa? I have a chapel. I'm a
undertaker.
He used to be a rav. A rav can't be a rav. It's very hard.
They have the
Tzaddik.
They say there's a Tzaddik Rebbe. Now there's a Tzaddik
Chassidim. Okay, Rakefet always says that Rabbanim, when they retire, they become undertaker.
Because
after a career of listening to the Balabatim complain, you want a job where your Balabatim don't talk back to you.
Get some measure of revenge.
Let's go further. So, oy shnit ma lemes, ayin beshut maram shek. The kohen shaloi made chokmas harafua, medical school. Shebevadai metamal lemesin beiskei bini tuach. Tzarech limchois biyodim melisa kapav. You're not allowed. Here, a shocking thing it says: a medical student, you're not allowed to have a kohen who's a medical student being duchen. Okay, forget about going to medical school, which itself is a shaila. Okay, you'll find many heterim. Look, there are poskim that will tell you that even if you're Yisrael, you're not allowed to go to medical school because inevitably you're going to be Mechal Shabbos. Go to medical school for 8 years, fellowship.
You're gonna kill somebody for
what?
Sure.
You're gonna kill someone? That's possible also. That's Pastor of Yashba would tell this Talmidim that it's shocking what he said. He said, "What do you want to be? A rav." So okay, good, okay, not bad. What do you want? What do you want to be? A doctor? Oh, don't be a doctor. Why? If you're a rav and you make a mistake, it's a big deal. You tell someone bas b'cholav. You tell them that it's kosher. Sinu, so he ate treif meat. So what's going to happen? So the guy, the poor fellow who ate treif meat. But if you're a doctor and you make a mistake, you kill them. You kill someone. It's a much greater sakana to be a doctor than to be a rabbi. It's very it's a shocking thing that he said.
There are a few Shabbos.
What?
There's some Shabbos medical programs.
Well, okay, today there are, but a lot of them, speak to medical students. That's not ideal. They would prefer to get into a better program. I have friends that went to medical school and some of them did Shabbos residency, some did not. But the good residencies, that would get them, would give them a career, are not Shomer Shabbos. That, and if they would get in, oh, to Harvard, they can go to Harvard for that, you know, that will take them in their career, they'll be world famous doctors. But there's no Shomer Shabbos residency in Harvard. So what would they do? They would take it. I know these guys, they would take it. Oh, but you're not allowed Shomer Shabbos. They're a terim. There are many attempts, but on the other hand, you have rabbanim that say you're mamish, not allowed to go to medical school. Forget about medical; you're not going to become a doctor. Why are you allowed to enter into a profession where you're going to be? It's inevitable, and in your career, you're going to be mechal Shabbos. Every doctor is mechal Shabbos. You have no choice. Once a person becomes a doctor, there are always situations. You always have patients. That's the nature of the business. You can have an agent. So, of course, once you're already a doctor, you have no choice. But l'chatchila, should a person put himself in that situation? So there are rabbanim that will tell people not to do so. And most rabbanim that we are familiar with will say, no, you do it. If that's what your calling in life is, that's what you're supposed to do. If that's what you feel you have to do in life, you should do it. Once you're a doctor, so you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos when the need arises. But over here he's discussing something even more extreme. A Kohen, besides the problem of Chil Shabbos, the Kohen is going to be in training in a hospital. He's going to do on dead people. He's always going to be in contact with the dead. So it's problematic. Okay, so you have the same Shaila. Should you enter into such a situation? There are different opinions on this matter. But now let's put all of that aside. He comes to shul on Yom Tov and he wants to duchen. Do we let him duchen? It may be very well you have a hetzer to become a doctor, but Seif Kol Sof, you are a person that it says in Shulchan Aruch that is metam lemeisim, and a kohen that's metam lemeisim is not supposed to duchen. There's a price to pay for being a doctor. It may be a very good thing, a very noble profession, but you're not allowed to duchen. That is the shaila. So he discusses this. It's not so simple. Shocking thing he says, you have to make macha melisa kapov. You're not allowed a medical student or even a doctor for that matter who's in contact with it all the time to be noise kapov. So some say, no, you don't have to be so machmir. I'm sure today they all do, and there's no such thing today. Kasha, we rely upon this. Kasha, gitzas the soiver, the came into Isaac Belimud since he by Isaac and Limud v'yochal idezel l'rapas nacherim. You got to look for the greater good through me going to medical school and being mitamul amesim. I'm going to be able to save Jewish souls. I'm going to one day be able to be a doctor for the community, for people, for Jewish people. So therefore, the greater good overweighs the problem. Mutulo alkein. Therefore, yesh l'chashve kishoygeg that he is mistaken by accident. And the Melo, you're allowed to let him duchen. Rak tzoch laharos lehadin leida mikad laba. You have to tell him he has to quit. He has to quit his profession. Obviously, we don't. I don't know. Obviously, the derech ha'olam today is no such thing today.
What
today,
about Solomon, would he have the same problem?
That's bikuch nefesh. That's much better. Because Solomon, there's no training in contact with the dead. That's Solomon goes for training.
Okay,
that's bikuch nefesh. Every person, that's different. That's different. That's a whole different story.
If he's not, he doesn't.
We're talking about entering into a profession where you have to first to go through at least 8 years of training, where you're constantly in contact with the dead, and then you're in a profession which requires you also to be in contact with the dead. It's a whole different Hatzalah. First of all, the training, as far as I know, there's no contact with the dead. Emergency medicine, you don't have to go, maybe, I don't know, maybe there are. If there is, it's probably very minimal. If there is at all, I don't think we heard such a thing. What?
During that lecture, we
yeah.
You said you had to go into the emergency room.
For training in the emergency room. In the emergency room, people could, but is an emergency room have a morgue? And every walk into every emergency room, some do, some don't. What? It's in the building. You even not go into, Kohen Kidim generally cannot even go into anywhere in a hospital. Separate. They're religious hospitals. Yeah?
Come in,
cannot go in if there's someone in the morgue. If there's someone.
No.
If so,
in the hospital
itself. If there's a death in the hospital, then there's a system to notify on the outside that there's a light. Okay, it's a very complicated system, obviously. A very big hospital. I can't imagine how they can do it because they got a big Hadassah hospital, such a massive hospital. Yeah, they build it right. So in Eretz Yisrael, there are so many from people, so they're able to do these things where they actually can construct it in a way where it's not halachically a problem. They have funeral homes today where you can mamish have kohanim, rabbanim can mamish come into the chapel. They have techniques today that are available because there's a demand. It's possible for it to be done. But in the Geisha world, it's to look at you out of your mind.
These same rabbanim.
Yeah. No one asks a Rav.
Not going to medical school.
It's for their own profession.
Because they.
No, Gebe Dover.
Okay. Do they say the same to Kahanim?
Yeah. Because a Rav needs to be Isaac in the dead.
He doesn't have to. Okay. The chasm, the system.
There are a lot of Rabbanim that are very prominent Rabbanim that are Kohanim. But a lot of them are self. They have their own shul. So if a shul is hiring a Rav, it's a very big issue, especially out of town. If a shul is hiring a Rav in New York, maybe it's not such a big deal because everything is specialized. So you can probably get away with it in the metropolitan area, but out of town, no way. A good part of the job is to deal with if you're calling, so you can't do the job. So it's a whole different world. So if a very big shul out of town that could afford to have an assistant or the assistant rabbi could be a kohen. Also, let's say have a very big shul out of town where you could have the rabbi, you have an assistant. The assistant will be in charge of all of these issues dealing with death, bereavement. But if you have a medium sized shul, you have one rabbi out of town, and that's what the job is all about. Good part of the job, there's no way around it. In Brooklyn, where Baruch Hashem, everything, there's so much of everything, so there you do definitely see exceptions to the rule. Okay, let's go further. So here, this is just a fascinating idea, what he says here, it's really shocking what he says, that Maker Adin, a medical student, or a doctor, he seems to say it's not really ideal that they should be allowed to duchen. Let's go to Cholol Yudbeis. A Cholol is not allowed to be Noisei Kab of a product of a marriage that is Avera. Ayin b'shepinas habayis b'koyin shenosa ishav eid zeh chadoshim acharach nesun yolda bein. A koyin, he married a woman, and a few months after the marriage, she had a child. Shaharasa lizanunim. So the question was, she was born, the child was not from the husband. V'abal moideh shemimenu hu, the Baal admits, shemimenu hu v'niskadel haben v'roitze lisa kapov. The Baal admits, he married a woman, and a few months after the marriage, Shaharasa liznunim means that they were not yet married. The child was born, I guess, less than 9 months. Is that what it means?
Yeah.
Less than 9 months. The Abal Moideh Shemimenuhu v'niskadel haben v'roitze lisa kapov. V'lalos the Torah rishayin. He wants to get, now he wants to be a kohen. Kos avsham de'im kohanim achedim yachtov. Mutuloy la'alos. That with other kohanim together he can ascend. Avaloy levadoy. But he alone cannot be the only kohen because there's a reis, so maybe the father is not really the father. Since
so
this child,
married and he has children, are they kohanim?
What? That's all part of the question. It's a whole generation. All the generations will be all the same exact stuff. All of his children will be in the same category. That they alone cannot duchen. They only can duchen together with other people. Avaloy levadai. Who keep tabs? Big problem. Big problem. Avaloy levadai. Now, so here, what's v'dafka imloy nechshuda me'alma? This only in the case where there's a reasonable assumption that he is the father. Again, the case here is where this woman gave birth, had a boy less than 9 months after they're married. So she obviously got pregnant before she was married. The question is, who is the father? He claims he's the father. He claims since he ended up marrying her, he was with her before they were actually married. Is he saying the truth? Is he not saying the truth? So if he's saying the truth, then the child's a coin. If he's not saying the truth, then we don't know who the father is. The father cannot be a coin. So therefore, we're going to be makel. We're going to believe him, that he's the father, only when he is a coin together with other kohanim, but not alone. Avol b'nech shedo me'alma. But let's say this woman has a very bad reputation. People suspect that she had relations with other men. Ein lohokel b'chol gavna. You have to be machm. We have to assume that he's not a coin. Ayin b'shuk. A person that's a suffix, is he kohen? Is not a kohen? there are three different rules. Aleph, im yesh b'ladu kohanim, number one, if he's not the only one duchening, then oz yetzu mi beis hakneses, he should leave the beis hakneses. If there's someone besides him, he should not participate. Beis, v'im nirsha b'beis hakneses, yale l'duchen b'loy b'roch asher k'dishan, if he does not leave, he finds himself to be in the beis hakneses, he could ascend, but should not make the brocha. V'zeu k'sheyesh koin acher b'beis hakneses b'lado, there's someone else, so therefore that person makes the brocha, he'll answer, amen, he should not make the brocha. Gimel, v'im k'var shama b'ruchos k'hanim, v'nizdam l'loy minyan sh'mespallim yale ima k'hanim acherim b'loy brocha, ayin sham. If you already heard Birchas Kehanim, in Kvar Shama Birchas Kehanim, this Damle mean another minion, Yale im Kehanim Achedim Beloy Bracha. Okay, so these are the general rules.
Does DNA overrule this?
No, DNA does not. That's been discussed. So the DNA is not set.
Sure.
Exactly, but it's still chazaka, even though we don't know bisman
is there. But
there are still, we still rely upon chazaka. It's not, that's one of the reasons why we don't give a
Shumas
Maestros, Pinyin Haben. Some people they do Pinyin Haben multiple times, because who says that this coin is a coin miyuchas? DNA is not in halach accepted to be accurate. Why not? Because I don't know if we have a starting point, we have a benchmark, we have a real. What's going to be the DNA? Who are you going to sample to be a kohen miyuchas to use this as the
for paternity?
This paternity. This situation, you don't know who the father is. So do you need Adis? I don't know the answer. Yeah, who the father is? A paternity test. Do you need Adis, or do you need circumstantial evidence? No, who says you need Adis? You don't ever know. It's Roy. If you go bust the Rev, when it comes to a father, how does any person know that their father is their father? Bezdin, the person hits.
So DNA can't take you out of that Roy.
So you go bust the Rev. So you don't need Adis. You just need Roy. So DNA is no worse than Roy, L'chaira. If a person kills, a person hits his own father, it's Bezdin is in Chayv and Misa. They kill him, they execute him. Why? Who says that this person is the child? He don't know. So the answer is we go bas arayv. Roiv bilois achar habal. So you go bas arayv. That roiv is enough to execute a person. So you don't need edus. So I'm just assuming.
But
I'm guessing that
DNA to take him out of that.
To take him out.
You can.
Oh, to take him out. Right now you can't do it. You can't take DNA. But let's say we have a child. We don't know who the father is. We have 50-50. We don't know who the father is, and the DNA tells us that this is the father. Would that be enough to establish he's a kohen to duchen?
It's not an Adis. You need an Adis.
I don't know the answer. I don't know.
You need Adis Echad for Yisurim at least, right? So where's the Adis? Test of member of Adis. Because that's halacha, that you need
Adis. I wouldn't say that you have to look at Shulchan Aruch. Well, I don't know. We have to.
Make an Isser on them.
I don't know.
Why did they do a client? Why did the AD supposed to have witnessed?
That this was his kid, I don't know.
The act of living. There's never any Adis on that. Come on.
Right. That's exactly right. That's why we have the right.
Adis is meaningless.
You want to change a chazaka? He has a chazaka that he's a kayan, and or he has a chazaka, he's not a kayan. You want to change the status. You can't just status saying, I'll take a blood test and do it.
How can you have Adis to that?
You don't know whose father it is. You do a DNA test and determine that this guy, a kayan, is his father.
Maybe you can't. You have to do this as a shulchan. No, I don't think you need Adis. Look, let's finish up. Bring our time to finish up. Last halacha. Halacha chaf beis. Last halacha. Halacha chaf beis. Oinein einoi noise es kabov. An oinein. The person rachmona litzlan is an oinein. This is nogea. Okay, when is this nogea? This nogea rachmona litzlan. The person dies on Yom Tov. On the first day Yom Tov. The second day Cholamoid. So the person does not sit. The person does not sit shiva. Until, well, it's not necessarily an oinei. It's not. He's, right now, let's say an oinei. I'm sorry. Let's take it back. In Eretz Yisrael, they do duchen every single day, and he's waiting. The mace die, and the funeral's not going to be until tomorrow. So today he's an oinei, and they need a coin for duchening. So oinei ein oinei doisei es kapot. The avil besochet. I think what it means is that's when the article Kishon. I think what it means is he's referring not to an oinei, a halachic oinei, but he means he's waiting for avelus to begin. For example, if a mace dies on Yom Tov, on the first day Yom Tov, and the kavur was on, let's say, on second leader on Chol HaMoed, and now it's a Shmini Atzeres, or it's a Shvi'i Shel Pesach, the seventh day of Sukkot, whatever it is, and now they're duchening. So he didn't start Avelus yet. Is he allowed in America? And Chutz Eretz, it's every single day, and every Shol, it's every single day, and now he wants to duchen. So anyway, what? He has Avelus Bitsina. Okay, but it's even a more intense. It's an even a more intense type of Avelus because he didn't even start the Avelus yet. The Avelus did not start. The days don't start. Okay, Nechanami, there is a certain Avelus Betzina. Is he allowed to duchen? No. Since he has not yet started Avelus, he's coming to see Sunday because he's coming to Shul. Avelus, once Avelus begins, he's not going to anyway come to Shul. He's going to do Avelus at home. And there's no duchening in the base level. In the base level, we all know you don't say Lakeinu, Lakeinu, that part is skipped because duchening is only done when there's Simcha. So here as well, even though it's Yomtiv, it's Man Simcha Seinu, it's Mamash Tadaf. Mamash Tadaf. It was today's daf, yesterday's daf, about you put the chasen in the put the chasen into the when someone dies in Yom Tov. You first start the Shiva Simei Mishta, and then you have the Shiva Simei Avelus. So during the Shiva Simei Mishta, when they're waiting for the Shiva Simei Avelus, the Dvarim Shebetzina are done, and one of the Dvarim Shebetzina, the person is in a state of tsar, and therefore he may not duchen. Oinin einin noisei eskapav. The Avil. Now here's something that says shocking. Now I don't know if people do this. Neri Tzol, the Rav Moshe said the minig is not to do this. That's at least what it says in the article Kitz Shulchan Aruch. I don't know what the minig in America is. Maybe you know better. The Avil b'soch shneim os v'chodesh al av imo oitach shloishem al shokrev einoi noisei kapav. They don't. That's not minig. Don't duchen. First year Avelos. So Rav Moshe, they write there in the Kitzur, in the article, that in Eretz Yisrael, it's not the Minach. Eretz Yisrael, they do duchen during the, after Avelos, Shiva, they do it. They do it. Only Chutz Eretz, they don't do it. It says that they do, after Shiva. That's what it says in the art scroll footnote, name of a Sefer, the Minach Eretz Yisrael is, they do it. Only in Chutz Eretz. Now this is a very big shaila. Rav Moshe is very machmir on this. Not like what it says here, but if ein beis haknesses shnei koyhanim achin, there's no one else. Lechatchila, you're required to have two koyhanim. We mentioned this many times because this kos varchu. Kos varchu is beloshen rabim. So lechatchila, you're supposed to have two koyhanim. V'im ein beis haknesses shnei koyhanim achin, mutu la'avil la'avil lisa eskapov to be part of that team. Toich shneim. Within the first 7 days, so the kid Shochnach is Mekel, and he says, if an Ovel or Ovel Imo is Toch Yud Beis Shana, and there's no one else, Toch Yud Beis Chodesh, and there's no one else, B'diyeved, the Kohen is allowed to Dochen. In the art school, kids are they quote a truth from Rav Moshe that the minig in Kutz Yaretz is not. Even if they're the only ones, it doesn't make a difference, does not duchen. Too bad for the tzibur. The tzibur will not have anyone duchening for them. An ovel may not duchen toch yud beis. He has to be in a matzav of simcha, and someone toch yud beis chodesh is not in the gedra of simcha, cannot properly be the vehicle to bring bracha to Klal Yisrael. Okay, that concludes the laws of the Siyas Kapayim. And Mircham, tomorrow will begin the laws of Hachana, Miyom Tavishan, Liyom Tav Sheni. Okay, let's take a 2-minute break, and then we'll talk about something from the parasha.